You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen.
And now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line is former Chicago Bears Pro Bowl free safety Mark Carrier. And let me remind you about Mark's background. He's from Lake Charles, Louisiana, so we got a Louisiana theme going here so far tonight. He attended high school at Long Beach Polytech in Long Beach, California, where he was a three-year varsity starter and named Parade All-American and USA Today All-American in 1985. Played his college ball at USC, where he became USC's first winner of the Jim Thorpe Award, which is presented annually to the nation's best defensive back. He was inducted into the USC Athletic Hall of Fame in 2006 and was named to the Pac-12 All-Century Team. And oh, by the way, one of our guests later on tonight, Ed White, is also a member of the Pac-12 All-Century Team. Fox Sports named Mark the seventh most dominating defender in USC history. He's a first-round draft pick, the sixth overall selection by the Chicago Bears in 1990, one pick ahead of his USC teammate, Junior Seau. Mark played in the NFL from 1990 to 2000 for the Bears, Lions, and Redskins. He was named Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1990 when he led the league with 10 interceptions, which also happened to set a Bears franchise record. He was named to the Pro Bowl three times in 1990, 91, and 93. His 32 career interceptions has him tied with safeties like new Hall of Famer Kenny Easley and fellow USC alumni Troy Polamalu. Since his playing days, he's been a coach at Arizona State and in the NFL with the Ravens, Jets, and Bengals. He is currently a regular contributor over on the No Huddle Show on TuneIn.com with our new partners Brian Weber and Cordell Stewart. Their show airs live Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're honored that Mark is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mark, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to make sure I had to get it right. Normally I'm on East Coast time. Now I'm actually on the West Coast, so I had to make sure I'm on West Coast time.
Well, we appreciate your time here tonight, Mark. And I wanted to start our time with you by getting your thoughts on your alma mater, USC. They're going to open this season ranked number 5 in the nation. They have 7 home games this season. It's going to be Clay Helton's second full season as head coach as he took over midway through the 2015 season. So how do you feel about your boys and their chances to make the playoffs this year?
Well, you know what? I like them going in. What I'm having a hard time, I'm going cautious is, you know, obviously with Sam Darnold coming back and all the hype and everything, that are they getting too hype? I mean, it's almost like they're building this kid up so high. I mean, he's pretty much the first overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, and he hasn't played a down a ball going into the 2017 season yet, but yet they got him projected at all that, and they haven't even let the kid play. And you don't realize, you know, SC lost a lot of guys on the offensive and defensive line. They're obviously very talented. They've got players. They've got good skill players. But they lost some bodies on the offensive defensive line, and you don't know what you got until you put it out on display. It remains to be seen. But man, you think about that 2011 team that came the year before, came off of 10 wins with Brad Barkley, and you know I think they finished that season not even ranked. So you just got to wonder, man, are they just getting too much hype right now off of the Rose Bowl?
And Mark, you know, when you think about, you know, going into the, you know, the college football playoffs, right? You know, obviously you got to get past the Pac-12 and, you know, teams like USC and Washington and Oregon and all of that. When you look ahead to the other teams in the Pac-12, who scares you?
Well, being an SC guy, none of them scare me. I'm just going to put that out there right now. They should be scared. Let's get that one straight. Don't ever say that to a true Trojan. Because if you ask a USC guy, you say scare, and they answer it, they ain't a true Trojan. So no one scares me. But as far as respect, obviously, you always got to look at right now what's Washington doing. I'm a big Chris Peterson fan. I think he's done a heck of a job. Obviously, we know what he's done at Boise. And then being in the Final Four for the national championship last year with the group he had, and he's got a quarterback come back, so you got to feel they're up on the rise. But I think the thing that worries me about SC's schedule this year is they don't have any breaks. I mean, they kind of, you know, I'm not feeling sorry because we didn't have it either. But they kind of go, once they get going, they go straight through, so you don't have that time in between to kind of get yourself ready, get healed up, and get to the next game. Get prepared for, you know, a big hype game and everything like that. They do have to go to Notre Dame, you know, this year, and that's always a tough game. And And then your rival with UCLA is you never know how that's going to go, but it's going to be an interesting schedule this year.
Bob, questions for Mark?
Great to have you back, Mark. And when I look at your back in that 1990 draft, Mark, and I think it goes under the radar that you were the sixth overall pick that year. A couple Hall of Famers before you, and Junior Seau right before you. Just wondering, Mark, did you feel a lot of pressure going into camp being a number one draft pick, and how did the guys receive you at the very beginning?
Well, first of all, yes, going to obviously going to Chicago and being around that group, there was still a lot. That was 1990. There was still a lot of the 85 Bears guys still there, so it was still that reputation was still there. And then I was replacing a favorite, Dave Dorson, who's now deceased, but who was a really team favorite. They brought me in, eventually released him, and so there was some backlash behind that. And then another one, third was, hey, well, we're bringing a guy from the West Coast, a California kid, to come play in Chicago, the Monsters of Midway. Will he be tough enough to handle that? So there was definitely a lot of different things going in that I had to deal with going into that season. And the best thing I did is shut up and play and let my speaking do the talking.
And, Mark, did you learn a lot that first year as far as technique and things like that? People, I guess, think you come into the NFL, you have speed or whatever. Can you teach footwork? I mean, tell us what you learned that first year about the craft.
Well, you know what? The technique-wise, that wasn't a big deal. I was pretty technically sound. I learned more of my skill set from my other coaches, from my college coach and my high school coaches that I dealt with. In the pros, I mean, it's technique, but it was more understanding the scheme. What most I learned about that, playing with that group and that organ, those guys, was the mental part of the game. How mentally tough you have to be, and how you got to block out the elements. You got to block out home life. You got to block, things you got to block out, and be dialed in, focus in on what's important on the now. What's need to be important. I can give you an example. I remember it was kind of like mid to late October. We're getting ready to go out to practice. And it's what, maybe 60 degrees, wind whipping in Chicago. Hey, California guy like me, I'm coming out to practice, and I got like sweats on, hoodies on, some gloves on. I'm dressed like it's like 30 degrees. And the guys see me as I'm walking up the hill at old Hallis Hall, and they stop me in my tracks, and they tell me and point at me and tell me right now, take your little skinny ass, excuse my language, back into that locker room and take all that crap through. And I'm like, hey, screw you guys. I'm not going back. I can do what I want. And, they were threatening to kick my butt, William Perry, Steve McMichael, all Richard Dent. You know what I did? I went back and changed. But it was afterwards where Mike Singletary came to me and talked to me on the side and said, young man, the reason why they're doing it, they're not doing that to haze you. They're wondering where your mindset's going to be when we go play Green Bay in the middle of December and it's below zero. Are you going to be worried about being cold, or are you going to be worried about doing your job? And those are the kind of things that those guys taught me about understanding, being focused, and worried about doing your job and not letting other things come into play to distract you, because we depend on each other. And if we're not in it with us, then you're against us. So I learned a hard lesson for the right reason that still carries me today.
And Mark, before I get to my next question, I just wanted to pass along, Eddie Kennison joined us right before you joined us, and he's also from Lake Charles, so he wanted to pass along his hello, and thanks for joining us as well, so I wanted to make sure we got that out there to you.
I'm not a wine drinker, but listen to Eddie, I feel like, hey, I need to grab some of his wine and everything. It sounds great. I'm not normally a wine guy, but listen to you guys talk about Eddie's wine, I'm thinking, man, I'm about to get a drink of some of that wine here.
There you go, barrel87.com. Go sign up.
87 guy, I got to sign up. That's right. You got to represent the Lake Charles
guy.
That's
right. So, Mark, you talked a moment ago about what you had to deal with. I was curious around, how much when you joined the Bears, how much and how often did you hear about, the Monsters of the Midway and Dick Butkus and the 85 Bears, and how hard was it to kind of live up to that tradition?
Well, it was hard because that 85 Bears, I mean, it's still argued today as one of the best NFL teams ever. I mean, ever, not just, at that time, but one of the best teams ever. Obviously, one of the best defensives ever in NFL history. And knowing, being around in Chicago, being a great sports town like Chicago, they thrive on that. They keep that, they make it, those guys are still very big, loom large in the city today, still today, 30 years later. So, coming in there and then playing on that defense. Again, I was replacing a team, a fan favorite with Dorsen. So you hear about it all the time. Monsters of the Midway, toughness, being aggressive. No matter what, either win or lose, you better go down fighting, because that's what that mindset. The players before me who were there, that was kind of the line, the establishment that they set up, the criteria to play in Chicago, play with the Bears, representation, Dick Butkus, those guys.
And Mark, I don't know if many people outside of the Midwest really grasp how deep the rivalry is between the Packers and the Bears. Was there extra juice for you guys when it was Packers week?
Oh, yeah. It was big time. I remember Keith Van Horn, who's a fellow SC Trojan, played with the Bears for a lot of years, played on a Super Bowl team, and he was helping me out quite a bit getting acclimated into Chicago. And I remember we were getting ready to go play Green Bay in Green Bay, and he was trying to tell me, hey, Mark, I just want to give you kind of understanding of what this rivalry is all about. He said, it's magnified. You know how to use, he said, UCLA or Notre Dame, magnify that important and how serious and how intense this game is. Then that's the level of mindset you got to have to go play in this game. And I was fined and suspended a bunch of times in the NFL, and two-thirds of them all came in the Green Bay game. So I understood the importance of that game.
And, Mark, you touched briefly on this last time you joined us, but how often are you confused with your cousin, who also happens to be named Mark Carrier and played wide receiver for years with the Bucs?
Hey, you know what? Not a month ago, I still get cards to sign here today, and I got another card of what Mark's. It's funny because the cards, I got about three, four cards, and there was one or two cards with me and Bears, and then there was a card with Mark and the receiver. So I'm sitting there thinking, at one point, they had to look at these cards and realize there's two different guys because they're on two different teams. So, but you know what? I signed my cards and sent the other cards back, hoping they'd realize, hey, that's not me, it's my cousin. But it's, like I said, it still happens today, and it's still fun with, Mark and I still have fun with it, and still, I'm just recognized as the other Mark, not me, not the Mark from Chicago.
So is that, I was curious, like, if a fan or somebody, comes up and I don't know, all the different events that you do, but if they hand you, a picture of, the other Mark Carrier, like, a picture of, Bucks wide receiver, or a Bucks mini helmet or whatnot, at this point, do you just sign and smile and say, yeah, here you go? Or do you tell them, hey, that's not me?
You know what? Because knowing how out of respect and how important people are with the paraphernalia and their apparel and these autographs and these things, a lot of people take it very, very serious. So I think at one time I might have signed it just because I didn't want to make waves, but also out of respect. I know how important some of these things are for people. At least, I never get disrespected or be ill or mean or bothered. I try to be as cordial and nice and explain it to them. But I will ask them, hey, if you want me to sign it, I will, but that's not me. So I always give them the option for them to say, if you want me to sign it, I will sign it. But I at least want to let them know that it's not who I am. That's the other Mark, but I'm more than willing to sign it, but I don't want you to get the wrong signature. And most people, everybody, I've never had a bad situation that when I've come up where people felt mean, or most of them felt embarrassed, and I just want to make them feel that it's okay. It's happened before, and make them feel comfortable so they don't feel, because some of them, especially young kids, when their parents send them up there thinking that's what it is, and the kids realize it's the wrong one, they feel very embarrassed. I just want to make them feel very comfortable that it's no big deal.
And the two of you were in the league at the same time, right? And you had seven of your career interceptions against the Bucs, which I'm sure, some folks may not remember that the Bucs used to be in the same division with you guys. But did you get matched up against one another?
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I made a tackle on him, and you could hear the announcer say, carry on the catch and carry on the tackle. And we both got up, looked at each other, laughed, and walked and went back to our prospective huddles. But we just thought it was so fun. We just thought it was so funny.
Bob, a couple more for Mark before we let him go.
Yeah, Mark, after 7 years in Chicago, speaking about rivalries, you find yourself in Detroit for 3 years, a division rival, the old black and blue division, et cetera. Just wondering the feelings, Mark, how was that, especially that first year going up against guys that you used to room with? It had to be a very strange feeling.
It was very strange. I was kind of I was actually the first time I went to play him was in, was actually, I think, a third or second game of the season, and it was in Chicago. And for the first quarter or so, I think I was in a funk. I was kind of, I think I actually started going to the wrong locker room, but it, it took a minute. It took a quarter for me to kind of settle in and get just like, you know, I talked about earlier about being focused on the game and doing your job at hand, but I'm not going to kid you. I do remember it. I was kind of in a somewhat haze a little bit. I was trying to go through the motions until I finally snapped in. The positive about it is that, you know, we won. We beat Detroit. We beat Chicago my first year in Detroit, in Chicago, and it was a very good game, had an interception. So it was very memorable. I remember my teammates on the defensive side kind of picking me up and giving me a game ball because they knew, you know, they knew the seriousness of, you know, my ties with Chicago and to go in to play well and to win, it made me feel good.
In your last season in 2000, Mark, you played in Washington. You played well. You played almost in every game. You kind of went out on top, but when did you know that was going to be your last year in the league?
That's a good question. Probably midway in the off season a little bit. My body wasn't responding like I wanted to, like it normally did. It was taking longer to kind of just to feel normal. Even through minicamp, they went through a coaching change, and Coach Schottenheimer came in with his crew, and then just, you know, kind of going there for the training and getting into the workouts, and, you know, one, physically, I just wasn't feeling right, and then two, mentally, at the time, you could, you know, you've been around enough, you could tell, hey, this the marriage between myself and this group is not a good one, and it's not, and, you know, it probably needs to end. So it was kind of one of those things that probably happened for a reason type deal, and it was a mutual split, and I kind of knew at that time it was time.
Mark, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the things that you're doing, both online and over social media as well.
I think last time I talked to you guys, I had not got a Twitter account, and my kids were getting on me. Well, now I do. I finally do have a Twitter account. Unfortunately, it's always been bombarded by SC stuff, but it's at Mark Carrier 20, my Chicago Bears number on Twitter, is where people can find out what's going on, what I'm doing, what's up next. And also my LinkedIn account. I've got that going now. That has more of a resume of all the various things I've done and where I've been and other things I've got going on. So those are two ways people can find out what's going on in the real Mark Carrier, the Chicago Mark Carrier.
And Mark, how can our listeners catch you over on the No Huddle Show and the other things that you do over on TuneIn?
Like I said, I don't know that because it comes random when I get filled in. They call me up, hey, can you come in? That'll be announced on my Twitter account when I'm going in to be on TuneIn. Matter of fact, I think at the end of next time I think I'm due on, it's the end of August. We're trying to finalize the dates, but stay tuned. I'll post it and let people know when I'm on the, especially when they want to get their NFL fix on what's going on in NFL in the huddle with the TuneIn group.
All right, very good. Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show tonight. It's, you know, like I say at the top of the show and in your intro, you become one of our favorite guests. We really enjoyed you so much last time. We couldn't wait to get you back on the show and already looking forward to the next time you'll join us. Thank you so much for your time. You're fantastic.
My pleasure. I was excited when I got the call saying, hey, if you can be on, I was like, of course. It was no hesitation. I remember putting it in my calendar and make sure I didn't forget. So thank you guys for having me.
Thanks.
All right, Mark. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That is former Chicago Bears Pro Bowl free safety Mark Carrier. And, G. Bob, when you look back over, you know, Mark's career and the things that he did right out of the chute, you know, Defensive Rookie of the Year back in 1990, and, boy, what a great player he was. And, you know, you look at the 10 interceptions. And then the number of interceptions went down, you know, over the next, you know, several years. But I'm thinking that's more to the sort of Deion Sanders effect, if you will, the Mark Carrier effect that came in there, and you know, guys looking around saying, I'm not throwing to that side of the football field. You know, he helped eliminate you know, part of the football field for that Chicago Bears defense. Great player.
When you think about it, Chris, not too many guys came into the league with such a splash because, as he said, still have some of those 85 Bears, the ghosts of those guys still on the team. And for him to lead the league in interception, and it surely seems the league got on to him quick and probably didn't throw his way as often. So it's amazing. And I still click on the wrong Mark Carrier when I go to look at stats. And I'm sure you've done the same too. So he's always a pleasure to speak with.
Yes, he is. All right, coming up here in hour number two, we've got a couple of former Vikings going to join us, Matthew Hatchett and Ed White. Matthew's hanging on the line. We're going to get to him in just a second. Before we do, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. Folks, please help support a wonderful cause that's taking care of guys who literally left so much of themselves out on the field. Remember, folks, these are the guys that played back when, you know, they still had to get off-season jobs to help support themselves and their families. It's organizations like this one that was started by Mike Ditka, the Gridiron Greats, that are, you know, there trying to help the guys that we all grew up watching and reading about. Please go to gridirongreats.org to see what you can do to get involved and to help support that wonderful organization. We're going to get to Matthew Hatchett on the other side of this station ID.